The European View Podcast. Your place to navigate the insights of our policy journal, brought to you by the Martins Centre, with Sarah Pini.
Hello, and welcome to the European View Podcast, your new way to navigate through the main issues of our policy journal with valuable insights from the authors themselves. I'm Sarah Pini, Senior Research Officer at the Martins Centre, and today I have the pleasure to host Gisela Elsner, Policy Advisor on Global Sustainability at the Konrad Adenauer Stiftung in Berlin. Gisela wrote in the latest issue of our European View an article titled "Will Europe's Next Crisis Be a Water Crisis?" As usual, you can find this and all the other articles of the European View on our website, martinscenter.eu. Welcome, Gisela.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you very much for having me.
Will the next crisis be a water crisis, indeed? You start your article by calling water the messenger of bad news of climate change. So that doesn't seem very optimistic. What do you think?
Yeah, that's true. And well, actually, I framed the title of the article in future tense, as you just said. So will Europe's next crisis be a water crisis? But actually, we have to say that in some EU member states, water crisis scenarios are already a reality now. For example, looking at Spain in these days, Spain faces a prolonged drought, the worst in 100 years, with water use restrictions for industry, agriculture, and even the citizens' personal use. France experienced a similar situation, and in turn, parts of Italy went through terrible flooding at the end of last year after thunderstorms hit the north and the center of the country. So this is what we already see now on the surface. But what is even worse is the fact that water stress is also happening as a phenomenon under the earth with regard to the groundwater storages, where, according to scientific monitoring over the past two decades, most of the European continent is losing more groundwater than is naturally being recharged, for example, by rainfall. And this is particularly because of the excessive groundwater extraction due to the global warming, which, broadly speaking, leads to climate change with weather conditions coming along that cause prolonged and extreme heat, including droughts, more frequently. And therefore, more water has to be pumped from the greater depth of the earth to compensate for the needs of the public supply, the agriculture, for example, irrigation use, and the industrial use. And so if this continues, we will run into trouble with severe crisis scenarios coming up for the EU as a whole. And so what we now see already happening with these weather extremes on the one hand and the groundwater shortages and water stress is something that is like a messenger which is already showing the trouble that may be caused by further global warming, and where we can even say that water is delivering the bad messages of this climate change.
So what should our answer to this messenger be? Water is, of course, by nature, cross-border. So our answer also need to be cross-border. We need a common EU framework to manage it. What does and should this framework look like?
Yes, indeed. 22 of the 27 EU member states are, for example, coastal countries, and they share water resources. So there is already an EU water policy, which plays a crucial role in safeguarding the environment in the EU. And there are also laws designed to preserve water resources. And this is the case for both freshwater and marine ecosystems. But focusing more today on the freshwater area. So the purpose of these provisions is to guarantee the cleanliness of water for the use of citizens, e.g., for example, as drinking and as bathing water. And the EU Water Framework Directive is the primary legislation, which establishes a general legal framework to protect and restore clean water in the EU, comprising inland surface waters, transitional waters, coastal waters, and the groundwater, and to ensure its long-term sustainable use. Since the year 2000, it has been the main law for water protection in the EU. And it aims to prevent and reduce pollution, promote sustainable water use, and protect and improve the aquatic environment, as well as mitigate the effects of floods and droughts and of climate change, as we already mentioned. So the overall objective is to achieve a good environmental status for all waters in the EU. And this EU framework directive is supported by more targeted directives, namely the groundwater directive, the drinking water directive, and the urban wastewater treatment directive, to mention just a few. And now the member states of the EU come into play as they are requested under the EU framework, water framework directive, to draw up river basin management plans, and these are based on natural geographical river basins, as well as specific programs of measures to monitor and protect, and where necessary, also to restore water bodies in order to reach good status and to prevent deterioration. So, and good status means both with regard to chemical and ecological status. This EU Water Framework Directive has been evaluated at the end of 2019, and the conclusion was that basically the EU water legislation is fit for purpose, and there is of course always room for improvement with regard to investments, implementation, and integrating water into other policies as well. And so the key findings show that the directives have led to a higher level of protection already of the water bodies and of the flood risk management than could have been expected without this legal framework. But the objectives of the directives are to prevent are relevant now as much as before, obviously, because as we mentioned already, the challenges with regard to water are increasing. So as a result, the EU Commission announced that this Water Framework Directive would not have to be changed. But what is very important is to focus on the implementation and in the enforcement of the current directive, which also, of course, are the EU's contribution to achieve the UN Sustainable Development Goals. So basically, there is a framework, and as many times in different areas, it is rather a matter of implementation than of having new rules and new structures to get a better protection in the area of water policy.
So what I get from what you say, it's okay, we have a problem, but we're getting in the good direction.
Yes.
Good. But there's one thing that I found particularly interesting in your article, and it's the relation between water consumption and the production of certain sources of sustainable energy. You know, in the current debate over the Green Deal, some variables seem to be sometimes forgotten, like the social and financial cost, or the supply chain, the methods of extraction of certain materials, etc. By the way, to our listener, I suggest to read on this topic the excellent article on climate realism by my colleague Dimitar Lilkov in the same issue of the European View. So, Gisela, after reading your article, I have the impression that between these variable, there's also the effect of energy transition, of green transition on water management. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. It is actually true that in the context of the energy transition meaning away from fossil energy sources towards renewable energy sources, in this energy transition, water is actually a very important factor, because Yeah, for example, with regard to Germany, my home country, almost half of the water abstraction in Germany is related to energy supply. And while we are talking about more sustainable energy use and by renewable energies, it is also true that water is still needed, for example, for cooling of photovoltaic plants or for the cleaning of them. And it is also needed as a raw material for the hydrogen production, for example, and also for the extraction of lithium, which is very important in the context of the production of batteries for example, e-cars and these the different kinds of use. So as always, in the context of climate change, environmental protection, and sustainable development, everything is somehow interrelated. So while we're trying to save energy and while we're trying to come to a more sustainable use of energy and energy sources, it is also true that there is still a certain need for resources as, for example, for water, which has to be consumed in order to produce this energy with the renewable energy sources. And so given that all this is interrelated, this has to be taken into account also when working on legislation, like in the context of the EU Green Deal, and when coordinating interests and with regard to challenges with conflicting goals and priorities. So it would be certainly very important to use the existing regulations and structures first and to adjust them to what is needed in the respective context, and also in the context of the production of energy with renewable energy sources, it would be very important to come to a system where wastewater is reused instead of always using fresh water, for example, and this would certainly help in order to preserve our water resources.
Thank you very much. Now, let's pass to the end of your article where you mentioned the security aspects of water management, right? The impact of water scarcity on human security, on migration, on social cohesion. Which regions in Europe or in the world do you think will be most affected and how?
Yeah, so this is certainly a very challenging part. We already see that water scarcity nowadays, as mentioned in the southern European countries, for example, are impacting everyday life and there are conflicting interests with regard to, for example, the personal use of consumers and agriculture on the one hand or industry, and on the other hand, the protection of these water resources. And there's not always everyone is not always agreeing on how to balance these different priorities. And when scarcity comes in and interests come in, this is obviously something that will be particularly the case in a very basic need for a resource like water. So there have been clashes between farmers and consumers, for example, in France already during a drought period. There are more and more even court cases with regard to the use of water, and it is all the more important to try and balance these different interests, and the EU can certainly help, because also with the cooperation between different countries in the EU, there are already different cooperation systems in this context, which may help to address these needs. For example, with the context of the International Commission for the Protection of the Rhine, which is a very old one already, where probably these balances can be found between different countries that are adjacent to the Rhine River, and where discussions can be held on how to prioritize the different needs. Another issue is certainly that migration is coming in, which is not necessarily, at least yet, within obviously the EU as such, but migrants coming in from third countries. And often this is related to a water scarcity in their own countries where they can't make their living anymore. And here again, as we know, the countries in the south of Europe are particularly affected because many migrants from third countries initially arrive at their coasts, and these migrants have to be dealt with in a way that protects their basic rights, obviously, but that also have to be taken into account with regard to their own citizens of these countries. So this is certainly a matter where social cohesion is a very important factor, and where the EU can probably help to mitigate the challenges that are coming in by both regulations and also water related diplomacy, for example.
Exactly. So what is exactly, what does water diplomacy mean, and how can it help? How can it mitigate these concerns that that we dwelt upon until now?
Yeah, so water diplomacy basically means that that a dialogue is established with regard to water-related challenges and even conflicts, where these, for example, scarcity situations can be dealt with, where you sometimes even have certain administrative bodies that can help to negotiate solutions and to resolve or reduce disagreements and conflicts over shared water resources in particular, and promote cooperation rather than conflict. And sometimes if it's about very basic needs, even countries that probably in other areas have problems with getting along or finding solutions for their cooperation, may then, due to the basic need of having water available for both their citizens and their industry, of course, can probably find ways to cooperate and find solutions in order to reduce this water stress, which is also, as we mentioned already, something that is rather increasing than decreasing, and which may in some context otherwise even get into a real conflict between countries that obviously should be avoided, as the world looks like. I think this is very obvious.
Thank you very much, Gisela. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for this interesting discussion.
Thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
And for those listening in, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe, and discover all the interesting insights of the European View on martincenter.eu and on our social media channels. Thank you, and stay tuned for more.
This was the European View podcast, your place to navigate the insights of our policy journal. Follow the Martin Center for more.